B-Pod Studios.
Ahoy, Stan and Haney, 96K Rock, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey.
Tony.
Long time listener, long time caller.
Yeah, I know you're a long time caller. This is Tony D'Amico from Cape Crepe and Chowder.
Hey, everybody.
The rundown dump of a restaurant in Cape
Coral. Southwest Florida's premier chowder destination.
Okay, I'll take you. There was a time. I'll tell you. It was the home of the milkless chowder. You had the male wait staff. You had the checkerboard, the tablecloths. It used to be, it had a very homey feeling. Your wife, when she was alive, used to be there. Tony Jr.
Sheila, God bless his soul. My son, Tony.
Yeah, Tony Jr. You used to have your brother Dom would show up from time to time. It was really homey kind of place where on a cool day like, you know, we've been having, you could have a cup of milkless chowder and with some of those oyster crackers. And boy, oh, boy.
And of course, you know, this time of year when the weather's nice, they put the card table in the parking lot.
Today is Veterans Day. And I got to ask you, Tony, on a very serious note right now, because it is Veterans Day. You are an elderly man. Did you, my friend, serve?
I did serve in the 4F.
4F means that you couldn't go in.
Right.
You didn't.
I meant to say 4-H.
4-H is a club.
I specialized in Victory Guard.
Wait a second.
I was as much a part of the fight as anybody over there in Bastogne.
Wait a second. How old of a man are you? Because I'm going to do some math here. How old of a guy are you?
You want the truth?
Yeah, I want the truth.
I honestly have no idea.
Hey, you have no idea how old you are?
I forgot.
You got to be in your 70s, which tells me late 70s. That would be my guess. Korea? Did you serve in the early days of NAM? Well, you were not. You were 4F. You didn't serve.
I said 4F, but I worked through 4-H.
4-H was it's a kids club.
Because it was a different time when planting a victory garden was just as important as going out and killing the Kaiser's minions.
Yeah, needless to say, you, Mr. I've seen it all, salt of the earth, lived life, you didn't serve.
I served in the Merchant Marine.
When was that?
Not during the war.
Not during the war. It was, what, during peacetime?
Right. What I wanted you to know,
yes, sir,
is it's all to me about the veterans.
Absolutely. And I know a lot of places, Tony, I know a lot of places offering a free meal.
Yeah, and we're doing something similar.
Something similar.
We are having a veterans buffet.
Oh, veterans buffet. That's great.
And we're buy one, get one.
Wait, what?
BOGO.
Buy one, get one.
Right.
Why not give a free meal to a veteran?
If they buy one.
No, suppose the two buddies, war buddies, who maybe served in NAM or Korea or the Gulf, come in to
Spanish Cape, War. Sure.
Spanish War, if there's any left. Come into Cape Crepe and Chowder, two buddies. And they say, you know what? Heard Stan and Haney talking about this place for years. What do you say, Chuck? We go in and get ourselves a nice meal. You're gonna charge one of them?
They can go Dutch. Split the difference. Still, it's a remarkable value.
For the Veterans Buffet.
It's a special thing because I had relatives who did serve. I know how to cook, and I know what it is that they ate.
Wait a second. Hold it. Let me ask you right out. You know what they, you know what you had people, you knew people that served, you know what they ate. That right. doesn't necessarily mean, Tony, that they liked what a lot of them had to go on, you know, them K rations. And
K rations?
Yeah. What are you serving at the
Now veteran? They call them MREs.
That, what are you serving for the Veterans Buffet? You know what? I'm going to go and hopefully give you a plug for your restaurant. What is Tony D'Amico of Cape Crepe and Chowder right there in Cape Coral serving for the veterans with the Veterans Buffet? 2-for-1, by the way. Buy one, get one. Tell us about the buffet, you buffoon.
Oh, that was very clever. That almost rhymes.
Yeah, almost. Almost rhymes, but the truth hurts.
You can enjoy.
How are you going to rip them off this time, D'Amico? How are you going to rip them off?
Navy beans and potted meat.
Wait a second.
Just like the good old days.
You're serving navy beans and potted meat.
Yep. That, with a portion of the proceeds going to the D'Amico Family Foundation.
The D'Amico Family Foundation. It's just you.
Right.
So, in other words, you're skimming off of that. Too. Wait a second. You have, it's a buffet. It's a buffet.
Right.
So, you got navy beans, and you got what?
Potted meat.
And potted
but
meat.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not a, no one is required to open a can in my restaurant. It's already been opened and put into a vat.
More, you got to have more than two items to make it a buffet.
May I be frank with you?
You got a salad or something?
May I be frank with you?
Well, go ahead. It's never stopped you before, old man.
As you may have heard.
Yes.
There's been an incident with gas.
Yes.
I happen to use antiquated equipment. Now, normally, I simply use the burners to light cigarettes. But since I'm expecting a crowd, I had hoped they might be in operable order. So I'm biting the bullet. And I'm going to get as much sterno as I can with $20.
Wait a second.
I planned to cook up all kinds of things.
Wait a second.
But then I lost my gas.
You're open for business and you don't even have a stove. You're trying to run a restaurant and you got $20 to buy sterno and open up a can of potted meat and beans.
Potted meat and navy beans. That's what these people ate. That's why they're heroes.
These people. Can I ask another question? It's 2-for-1 over at Cape Crepe and Chowder.
You can ask any question you want. Don't you dare hang up on me because I want to do a public service announcement.
How much for the 2-for-1 of navy beans and potted meat heated by sterno at Cape Crepe and Chowder tonight?
When you factor in the sterno.
How much are you charging people, veterans?
$839 times 2.
$839 times 2?
Right.
What are you talking about, around $17?
Somewhere in the neighborhood there.
Yeah, and I suppose that the beans and potted meat is there, and you got ashes shaking right into the pot right now. I can hear you smoking. You old man.
You know everything.
You're a meathead.
I'll tell you this. Here's what I'll do special for the veterans.
Oh, okay. What's special other than diarrhea? What else
just,
you got coming?
Just between me and the veterans.
Reminisce about dysentery, too, after they eat that slop you're
I'll
serving
give
them?
I'll give you a wink and a promise.
What?
I won't tax you.
So let me wait a second now. Let me get this straight now. Tonight, for veterans, it will be Cape.
Well, I hope it's more than four.
Right. It'll be Cape. This is for the veterans, the general public is welcome as well. It is Cape Crepe and Chowder's Veterans Day Buffet for around 17 bucks per person. You can get navy beans and potted meat for 17 bucks.
You see what else I got in here? There may be a variety of beans. I can get that damn can open without electricity.
Now, okay, so we got that out there. Now, I know.
It's a candlelight buffet.
And you're charging 17 bucks to
and
the
I
veterans.
I guarantee you.
What?
This is not pet food.
I hope nobody comes to your restaurant. I hope this is just a total, you're ripping people off. How dare you?
Potted meat, sir?
How dare you?
Southwest Florida, sure have a wonderful time. I feel as high as that Australian pine. Now I'm sweating my friggin' ass off in that Southwest Florida heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on, now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off. Fort Myers, all the radios are on. All over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Stand and hate it. Stand and hate it. Stand and hate it all afternoon. The best in local radio that there's ever been. Show is so damn good, it makes the Pope wanna sin. Go fell out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. To us once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon, that's where we belong. Stand and hate it. Stand and hate it. Stand and hate it all afternoon.
According to the biblical principle that it is far better to give than receive. And the management here at Beasley is just fine with that arrangement. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, as we salute our veterans today.
I got to say, man, we talked about it all last week. College football did not disappoint.
Okay, can I say something about the LSU-Alabama game very quickly? I was out of town. This was, and I said this to the Beasley boy who runs ESPN.
Oh, you're talking about the Alabama alum?
Yes. And it was truly an amazing thing. I said to him, probably one of the biggest games in college football history that wasn't a bowl game or playoff game.
Arguably bigger than that.
I was in, I was on Cocoa Beach this weekend.
And really? How's Cocoa Beach doing?
As dirty as ever.
Did you tell it I said hi?
Yeah, I did.
Did it remember me?
Yes, it did. I'd like to forget a lot of it. But
I have happier memories there than you do.
Well, it's not a question of happier memories. It's a question of making new memories, and I'm saying this place is really run down.
Worse than it was?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, sir. But Saturday for the LSU-Alabama game, which was a phenomenal game to begin with.
Do you know
with.
What happened, though? You know I like to sleep. And I get up and I just had it in my head because I never checked the listings. I was just like, that's got to be in prime time.
Was it? Well, and it eventually did go into prime time.
And I, you know, open up the tablet and I'm looking, they're playing now. What the? And so I had to get to watch it early, but why would you not have that in prime time?
I don't know that they knew. It's a big game. It's a big SEC matchup, but I don't know if they knew when the schedule is being made. Sometimes they make these 5 years in advance that this would be like this.
I thought
this.
They made them weeks in advance where the network had the
That's
opportunity
the NFL,
to
the
flex it.
Schedule.
Yeah.
So I'm over...
Well, if you look at any of the big games on the college schedule at the beginning, it says TBD.
So I'm over there. Now I'm going to the Kennedy Space Center, and the pregame's going on. I leave the Kennedy Space Center, I throw on the game. It's on the radio. I'm stop and go at traffic, leaving the Kennedy Space Center on Cape Canaveral, going back to Cocoa Beach. Every car radio has it on. People have their windows down. It was a beautiful day. I go down Cocoa Beach. The sun has gone down. Now we're going to go and grab something to eat. And you know on Cocoa Beach, and for those of you who know a beach area, coastal beach area, bar after restaurant after bar after restaurant, and over there, they're open. They have some inside stuff, but a lot of it is outside with outdoor stools and tables so that you're out in the atmosphere of the beach.
Oh, yeah. And at least in our day, you'd have a band out there.
Yeah, oh, yeah, and there were. But I'm going down stoplight to stoplight down Cocoa Beach. And every single establishment has the game on. You could see from the road, stopping at traffic lights, every TV having the game on. And I'm going, this is amazing. So we finally stopped.
So it's like
somewhere.
A Super Bowl atmosphere.
That's exactly what it was. Or a national championship in college football atmosphere. This is a regular season game. And we find a place to stop. Had to go to a second place because it was packed because people were watching the game. Go into the establishment. All the TVs. The game is on. That is the only thing. And there was live music that took a back seat to the live TV football game that was going on. Because it was everywhere.
And for once, it didn't disappoint.
And it did not disappoint. It was a great game.
As advertised.
Back and forth. You know, huge runs of piling up points and the other team coming right back and catching right back up again. It was and the outcome was as it was supposed to be.
And you know, my dad is LSU alumni, so he's obviously over the moon with this. You know what I texted him?
What?
And he knew exactly what I meant because, you know, he and I go back a ways.
Yeah, a few years.
Yeah. and thinking specifically about the end of the game and how clutch that guy was, I wrote 22 runs like 39.
Yeah.
My dad texts back, yeah, and he's only 5'8".
Jeez, I'm great.
You want to talk
phenomenal
about clutch, man.
Yep.
You've got the whole Alabama defense trying to strip the ball.
Yeah.
You got to make that first down. Okay, good job, son. Now we need you to score the decisive touchdown.
I just like looking at Nick Saban's face. The total disgust.
And that Joe Burrow, man, if he ain't Tom Brady Jr., I don't know who
spectacular
is.
Spectacular.
Cool as could be.
We got to take a break. We'll be
and
back.
And you know what? Same thing with Tua, but we expected that
yep
from Tua. Great. Four touchdowns.
It was great. It was just a perfect game on a Saturday that captivated a nation.
And that's what it's supposed to be like.
You don't get that in the NFL. I'm going to tell you that right now. You
I
don't
was thinking that the whole time. I cannot remember the last time I felt this way about an NFL game.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
We wrote the book on funny. But unfortunately, it's long out of print. Stan and Haney. 96 K-Rock.
Hey, gang. Stan and Haney here Monday as we salute our veterans. Thank you for your service. Captain Lazaro will be in studio today, about an hour from now. And we have three recipients to future veterans with the Stan and Haney Draft Fund. They're serving right now and will be veterans once they leave the military. So, and we have some donations to give Captain Lazaro as well.
You know when you said, hey, gang,
yeah,
at the beginning?
Yeah.
What went through my head was like you were an amalgamation yeah of Morton Downey Jr. and Eddie Money.
Yeah, kind of like that. I'm happy being lumped with them.
Like they were on either side of
yep
you, giving you thumbs up.
Yep. Hey, gang. And then there's Eddie and Morton Downey Jr.
Thumbs up.
Big smiles.
Yep.
Well, one of them.
What do you mean one of them?
Well, one of them had real teeth and another one. Well, one of them had capped teeth and the other one took his teeth out because it made him sound bluesy.
And you know what? Morton Downey Jr. was nice enough to come on this show
yes
and pass the torch.
Yep. He sure was. Stan and Haney here. Grab bag. Brought to you by the...
We're very gracious about that.
Yes, we are. Pewter Mug North. North Naples.
We're very gracious people.
Yes. Yes.
Everybody knows it.
By the way, for veterans out there, tons of freebies available to our service people who served. Let me just quickly, because this is a pretty impressive list. For those of you that are veterans and you have a right to claim some of this stuff, if you want to. Restaurants, tons of restaurants offering some type of free food to veterans. Applebee's, Buffalo Wild Wings, Chili's, Cracker Barrel, Denny's, IHOP, Golden Corral, Red Lobster, Red Robin. Coffee and donuts, Starbucks is offering free coffee for veterans, active duty service members, and military spouses today. Dunkin' Donuts offering veterans and active duty military a free donut today. Great Clips. Anybody who gets a haircut at Great Clips on Monday will get a free haircut card to give to a military member of any branch, including the National Guard. And veterans who visit the salon today will get either a free haircut that day or a free haircut redeemable till the end of the year. Retail stores, Kohl's, 30% discount on purchases today. Home Depot and Lowe's, 10% discount. Target, giving a 10% discount on one purchase in stores and online through today. And Amazon, they're offering current military veterans $40 off the regular price of Amazon Prime. That's $79 compared to the regular price of $119. And if you already have Amazon Prime, it works whether you're a current member or not. So there you go. There's a few free things. As we salute our veterans.
The 11th day of the 11th month.
Veterans Day. Honoring all who serve. Home of the free, because of the brave.
Ain't that the truth? You know, T.I. got in a lot of hot water when he said that he escorts his daughter to the gynecologist to check her hymen. He made a lot of ladies upset, and Haney and I just want to let you know, ladies, your sexual past is your business and the business to our latest sponsor, Hymen Hut.
So, how many guys have you been with?
Uh-oh. I knew he was going to ask me that. How can I explain that I went a little crazy after my breakup and became the Redskins' unofficial team mascot? What am I going to do?
Ladies, are you tired of having to hide your sexual past? Afraid of the unwanted social consequences or a spontaneous honor killing? Then you need to hurry on down to Hymen Hut. At Hymen Hut, all we sell are hymens, all shapes and sizes, at the guaranteed lowest prices. At Hymen Hut, all we sell are genuine artificial hymens imported from China, the same country that gave us fireworks and spaghetti noodles, so you know they have to be good. And with our patented kitty template, you're guaranteed a perfect fit every time. So what are you waiting for? How can you keep your reputation intact when the rest of you isn't? Hymen Hut. Order now at 1-800-POKE-PAL or shop online at CooterCloser.com. Hymen Hut. We're insane on the membrane.
You know what?
I just wanted to... So you didn't get to watch the football game.
Oh, I did get to watch the... I watched the last quarter in the restaurant. I listened to the first three quarters on the radio.
Oh, this is like a the game aside thing. If you didn't see the whole thing on television, you might have missed it. I noticed at one point they cut to the booth, and there was Gary Danielson and his play-by-play guy.
Yeah.
And a very depressed man taking notes off to the side.
Yes, gentlemen, David M.
Yes, looked very depressed. This is the best game ever. How can you be depressed?
Because if you said that to him, hey, man, this is the best game ever, he'd look at you sternly and say, I got a job to do, okay? This ain't about fun and games.
And probably he'd be upset. You know what? After the god-awful display that I saw today when they cheered the President of the United States.
I got that coming. Yeah, that probably made him sick to his stomach.
Yep. Probably started to walk out and Gary had to go, hold on.
This is, let's talk about a nerd saving the day.
Okay. It happens.
Yeah. A man in Michigan was playing video games and watching Rick and Morty.
Simultaneously.
I guess so. Last Wednesday.
Boy, that's some multitasking.
When an intruder burst into his apartment and he managed to fight the guy off using a replica battle axe. Turns out he's really into Viking weaponry.
Nice. I like this guy.
And makes videos of fake battles that he posts online.
Nice.
Here he is talking to the reporter about how he saved the day.
Well, number one, it's not LARPing. A lot of people are like, oh, is it LARPing? And it's like, no. This Band-Aid was actually from filming last night for our newest episode. I've got a double-headed carbon steel battle axe that was homemade by a gentleman who has since passed. That's what I call my baby. Door open, grab the axe, step, hit. There's a bloody mess everywhere.
This guy.
God bless him.
Yeah. One way to learn.
Well, it looks to me like the guy's living in one room with a bunch of battle axes and a screen.
Yeah, there's some of his videos where he makes Viking.
Nice.
Okay. This is so disturbing.
See, that's how you would get hurt.
Yes.
Because you'd think, oh, that's a nerd. I can take him. Except for his double-bladed axe.
Yep. That, you know, it's a replica, but it hurts.
Yeah, it's a replica in the sense that no Vikings didn't use
correct.
It. Correct. But it's quite real.
Correct. Rob, let me ask you, who's wants on during the grab bag?
I believe we have a listener with a joke or a question. I can't really tell.
Not Tom from Melbourne.
Not Tom from Melbourne.
Okay, let me also find out if he knows what's going on here, what we're doing.
Why do you do this? Why can't you just... You just can't ignore that line,
I can't ignore flashing light.
A lot of people do that, though.
I can't. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, yo. This is Al the Barber. How are you doing?
Al the Barber.
Al the Barber.
Yeah.
Where are you been?
Oh, I've been around for 60 years.
Yeah, I know. I know how long you've been around.
Oh, I didn't know you knew.
Okay. Yeah, I know. Do you know what we're doing right now in the segment of the show, or did you just think it was a good time to call?
I had called before that, sir.
Yeah, what, during Matt Mangus's show?
Oh, about the helmet with the horns, the Viking guy.
What about the Viking guy?
Was he wearing a helmet with the horns?
Yeah.
They told us about this about 2 weeks ago. They have been listening.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
What he's talking about is on things you didn't know.
Yeah.
They've determined that Vikings did not wear the helmets
right.
with the horns
good for
on
him.
Them. That it was made up later on because it was a good look.
Show me that clip again. I think he abided by that rule. He doesn't wear the horns, does he?
No, he was wearing like a South Park thing.
Yeah, he was
like
wearing a toque, a knit cap. But when he does the reenactments as a Viking, was he wearing Viking horns? No.
Yeah, you can call that a replica. I call it steel.
Yeah, he didn't have horns. All right, back down, buddy.
Oh, he does have like a World War I pit helmet.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for a Viking. Dateline, this is so sick. Dateline, Missouri. A guy smashed out the windows of a sex store to save the mannequins from being sex trafficked.
Why don't we have asylums anymore?
I don't know. Because Geraldo Rivera shut them down.
Medication time. Yeah.
So he doesn't want the mannequins being a part of sex trafficking?
See, instead he could have told the nurse about it.
Yes. What if she would have given him something? Told him time to take a nap.
Suspicious to me in the way that he was acting, running around in front of the boutique, yelling and screaming and banging on the windows. He said that the mannequins were telling him that they needed to be let out or something. And then I had him down on the ground, and all he was doing was just trying to kind of mule kick me in the back. It was somebody's business. I mean, you know, I'm not the type of person to stand idly by and watch something happen.
Yeah. And then he proceeded to give him a little stick time.
little stick work. Oh, get a load of that guy.
There he is.
Jeez. Yeah, he's in one of them small town sheriff's office where they have to hand write out your mugshot data and make you hold it.
Yeah, hold it up to the camera. When Haney and I were growing up, you know, we watched the classic TV dramas and stuff. When a woman was not pregnant, expecting, man stayed out of it. Now what they do, and it went horribly out of control this past weekend, they now have... And when the birth came, hey, congratulations, you got a boy. Hey, congratulations.
Cigar time. Booze time.
Now they are able to, and we knew this for years, able to determine quite early on the sex of your child. Okay. good. Then you can prepare. Now they have the gender reveals, the blue for a boy, the pink for a girl, and it's all about, hey, look at me.
Well, why would they do that? Because, you know, it's still in situ inside the mother.
Yep.
They can't tell us who them are yet.
Yep.
So when you have a gender reveal party, what is that saying? The child hasn't yet told you what it identifies as.
That's true. Dateline, Texas. Gender reveal party. A pilot who's a crop duster was supposed to let the blue smoke out.
We don't need name calling, okay? Whatever this man may have a bowel problem, but we don't know. Stop calling him names.
He wasn't crop dusting. He rides a plane that crop dusts.
Oh, all right. Because you called him an old crop duster.
You old crop duster. You old one-cheek sneaker crop duster. He was trying to do it for a family, and the plane crashed.
Oh, well, that's a damper.
Just north of Brian Buchanan's place. Pilot is out of the aircraft. Okay, Jim, patient number 212 is going to be a male. Denying any injuries.
He was okay. He lived. Stop doing with the reveal parties. Oh, man, this is another thing.
All that really, it used to be, it depended on what color the cigar band was.
Yep.
And you had both just in case.
And even if you didn't smoke, you can hand out the bubblegum cigars. Dateline, New Jersey. I'd ask Rob the exit, but he don't know. Evidently, turkeys are harassing people in New Jersey. And I don't mean just, you know, bothering them.
Well, he doesn't know anything about that. He doesn't know anything about turkeys or New Jersey.
No, or exits or anything.
He may know something about turkeys, but Jersey, he doesn't.
No, not a thing.
Now, you know a thing or two about turkeys because...
yeah, I raised them.
Well, didn't you say Ernie Niver used to have a pet turkey?
Yeah, we gave it to him. We gave it to him as a little hatchling. And he turned it into a pet. A group of about...
Do you know whatever happened to it?
He ate it, I think.
So he loved it for a couple of years and ate it?
Yes. Yes. He took it and had it butchered. That's true. A group of about...
Did he lead it in there on a leash?
Here's Ernie Niver. Ernie Niver was a drunk. His wife left him years ago, and he kept the house and the pickup truck. He lived in a residential area of Torrington, Connecticut, but would take home anything and everything. He was the one that would pick up roadkill and make possum stew, raccoon stew.
Isn't that good, Stan?
Yeah, eat more.
Come on, Rocky.
We raised turkeys. And there, every once in a while...
How old were you when you lost respect for the turkey?
12. Every once in a while, you'd have a turkey or a pheasant when we raised them, or a rooster in the hen house.
Because you raised a lot of animals,
yes. But
you seem to be just almost angry at how dumb turkeys are.
Turkeys are super dumb. They'll drown in a puddle. But you always have the outcast turkey, the one that the rest of them don't accept.
Mm-hmm.
And Ernie Niver said, I'll take the turkey.
The really dumb turkey.
The real dumb one, the outcast. And he took him home with him, put him in his backyard, and fed him and all that stuff. And he would go, and the turkey was pretty tame for the most part. It's a dumb bird.
As tame as a turkey gets.
And he thought it would be a good idea when he was out drinking to have a companion. And he'd take the turkey from his backyard, put it in the car.
Like his sober companion.
Yes, put it in the pickup truck with him. And it got to be a novelty when you saw Ernie Niver going through town, running red lights, you know, with one hand up on the wheel with a cigarette burning.
Mm-hmm.
And a tall boy in the other one. And the turkey in the passenger side. There goes Ernie! He's got that damn turkey with him!
Until he had it butchered.
Yeah, and then it got to a certain age, and I remember we were sending our birds off to be dressed.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you might as well take this one.
So why doesn't anybody eat these boys?
They're gonna. There are a lot of turkey farms, and I don't know if this is the case, but there are a lot of turkey farms and a lot of wild turkey. And they start not being afraid. Well, here's the story. About 50 turkeys have been harassing residents.
Oh, they're like a gang.
Yes, it's in an over 55 community in Jersey. People can't even get out their front door because of the turkeys.
The turkeys are taking over. It's like an infestation. I can't get out of my door. Sometimes I can't get out of my car.
Shoo them away. They won't do anything. They just like look at you to say, yeah, like they don't care.
People think it's a laughing matter. It's a serious matter. When I can't get out of my house to get in the car because they won't go away and you can't get them to go away and they go to bite you, yes, it's a problem. They've broken windows in people's houses when they fight. It's something to be taken seriously.
Yeah, it's... Yeah. Damn turkeys.
Now, I've never been around a whole gaggle of turkeys.
Yeah.
But if they're coming at you, wouldn't a baseball bat solve the problem?
Yeah. It would, and you'd wind up, you would wind up hurting the bird physically and permanently, and then you'd feel bad about it. Oh, I killed the bird.
Well, how do you...
When they get all fluffed up like that, back away. Back away.
Well, what are they going to do to you?
They will attack you. They'll spur you.
With their feet?
Yes. They'll peck at you. They'll charge you and bite you. Their beak is a powerful weapon.
So what would a little lady have to do? A broom won't do anything to them?
Broom, they'll fight the broom off. I've gone after one with a broom, and they'll fight it off.
So you've had a turkey fight?
Yeah.
Take us there. What happened?
It's a turkey fight. They'll go and puff up. They make a sound.
Now, are you a child or an adult at this point?
I'm 12.
Okay. Well, then you got good size.
But they make a sound. And then that's when they flare out and their little waddle there up on the top there. I don't know what the hell you call it.
Yeah, it's a waddle.
Starts hanging down. Because when they're not in aggressive mode, that thing goes up like almost like a retracting penis. It goes up, and it's not there. But when they get mad, they fan out. That waddle goes down hanging, and their head turns colors. It'll go blue and red, and they mean business.
And so it came after young Stan?
Many times. And you go and try to swat at them, and they'll keep charging you. They're so dumb, they'll charge you until they're dead.
And is that what happened?
I hurt them a couple of times, but, you know, then eventually they'll move on. Because then they forget what they were fighting about.
Or forget that they were fighting at all.
I would be sitting out on our back lawn.
So the key thing is to distract them,
yes.
And they forget what they're doing.
But the thing is, I'd be sitting out on the back lawn, and the turkeys would be out there in their area, and I'd just go do the turkey gobble, and that would set them off. You'd hear them all gobbling and get all puffed up.
So that's where that came from.
Yep.
It's famous now.
Yeah. It's really famous now.
I didn't know it was that authentic.
Oh, yeah. Any noise gets them going. You'd clap two pieces of wood together to get them gobbling.
Oh, that's too bad.
I was
thinking that your gobble is so authentic that they thought it was another
turkey.
Oh,
it's pretty
turkey.
Real, but they'll gobble at anything.
You see, you kind of undercut yourself when you tell
care.
Stories
I know,
like
I know.
That.
I'm not undercutting myself,
no,
I'm telling you.
You should make it sound like you were so good. You were so good at doing it that it...
No.
And then you just make
any
anything
noise.
Would do
you
it.
You have a bike horn. It was... and I'm off. You know...
Boy, they sound so unpleasant to be around.
They are. Very unpleasant. They are as unpleasant as this.
I shouldn't be up here. I should be back in school, on the other side of the ocean. Yet, you all come to us young people for hope. How dare you? You have stolen my dreams, my childhood, with your empty words. And yet, I'm one of the lucky ones. People are suffering. People are dying.
Yeah. See,
like something a turkey would say.
Yes! They're bad animals. They're good eating, dumb and
so
look at them. Look at them. Look. Turkey fight.
So a chicken is much more pleasant to have around than a turkey.
100%. Or Stan and Haney.
Man, they just seem like they're so dumb they don't know what to
they
do
are
with
dumb.
Themselves.
96
K-Rock.
Look
how stupid they are. Dumb bird.
96 K-Rock.
Ladies and gentlemen, to continue, please warmly welcome with us
Stan and Haney Afternoons. 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Yeah, you're here for perfect time. If we have to go a little long, we'll go into the next break. You're good where you're at. I got to tell you about the Stan and Haney Draft Fund. Of course, Captain Lazaro is going to be in here in just a second. He's stopping on by.
And it's the only one of my ideas that ever worked.
It did work. Now, here's something that is going to help the Stan and Haney Draft Fund. And you need to be a part of it. Of course, Five Finger Death Punch coming to Hertz Arena this Saturday. 96K Rock brings you a benefit with Stan and Haney and the Draft Fund. They're calling it the Five Finger Draft Punch. Saturday, you want to grab that, Captain? You want to grab that, R-E-T?
And that stands for retired,
yep.
Okay?
Yes.
Stop your jokes.
Yep. This is going to be big. Saturday, before the Five Finger Death Punch concert at 3 p.m., Haney and I are going to be at Duffy's Sports Bar at Stony Brook, right across from Hertz Arena. We're going to be there broadcasting live from 3 to 5. Joining us will be bassist Chris Kale from Five Finger Death Punch. Chris will be available for autographs and photos. We'll have K-Rock stuff. And right there at our broadcast, you'll be encouraged to make a donation to the Stan and Haney Draft Fund to benefit Southwest Florida troops and their families. So mark it on your calendar. You get to meet one of the Five Finger Death Punch guys, Chris Kale. We're going to be hanging out at Stony Brook at Duffy's Sports Bar, where you can come by, get your picture, get an autograph, and greatly appreciated, make a donation to the Stan and Haney Draft Fund. You want to just hang out, and then we can do
yes,
it at
absolutely.
That time, since you have so many people that are listening?
Because I have people from around the country.
Oh, absolutely. Here, bring that microphone.
Pull that mic up there, Captain.
Yeah, I have people that are tuning in from across the country to listen.
Okay.
We're going to do it at 3:30.
All right, we'll do
Eastern
it at 3:30.
Eastern
time. Yes, we will.
Fair enough.
I know they're listening
Eastern
from
standard.
Everywhere.
Yes.
So you just sit back, relax.
Well, we have one from Yokosuka, Japan. We will have one in San Diego.
By all means, we're going to do it at the time scheduled,
Roger
Captain.
That.
All right. Can I get you a water?
Good to go right now. Thank you, sir.
All right. How you been, by the way? Everything
that is
good?
Not optional. You need to hydrate.
Yeah, you all right?
You must hydrate. Good? Everything's going good. How about you?
Good. I know you were in San Diego.
Yeah, I was in San Diego for the Returning Warrior Workshop as we talk about the Yellow Ribbon Reintegration Program. They still have them all around the country.
Okay.
How hot was it in Afghanistan? You were in the southern part, right?
Yes. It was 125. In the shade.
So how often did you have to hydrate?
You had to drink at least your body weight in ounces per day, you know, of water.
Strictly
you
enforced?
You would sweat it all out. It was strictly enforced. And you could tell the people that weren't drinking because they were getting woozy and they were getting, dehydrated.
So it didn't take long before you realized you got to do it.
And you would sweat it all off.
I want you to have a seat.
Okay.
We've got video running of fighting turkeys. If you keep that going for them, Rob, you can be entertained with fighting turkeys.
Nope.
You know, in Jersey, their turkeys are attacking everybody.
Well, I grew
over.
Up in Jersey. I heard about that.
What exit?
Yeah, what exit?
North Jersey, off the when the parkway used to be a quarter.
Yeah.
Hey, where's the waterman today?
Yeah, good question.
Good question. I wanted to know
if he paid Mrs. Nowalonic the $28.
Of course not.
No. Okay.
Of course not.
I was going to ask him that initially. All right, I'll stand by.
All right, have a seat.
But did he get the pictures?
Yes, he did. He sure did. Local beat, the mystery boat, local beat.
Local beat mystery boat. Did he ever find out anything about that lady that walked into the ocean?
No, she's fine. She's alive. Just went back to the hotel. This local beat.
I don't like that we never get to find
out
what
the hell
that was.
I didn't see any follow-up on that. You know, I try to keep my eyes out and see what's going on.
I'd like to know her deal.
Charlotte County has a mystery boat. A mystery boat. Is someone living on the mystery boat? Is it abandoned? Is there a body on the boat? Nobody knows.
Because everybody's scared to go near the boat?
Yup! This coming to us from NBC2, headline, abandoned boat in Charlotte County is raising questions. Is it abandoned?
Why didn't somebody look?
They're afraid. An abandoned boat docked near a private boat ramp has residents wondering where it came from and who's living on it. The boat appears...
Is it bothering anybody?
Yeah! Well...
It's not doing anything.
Allow me to read the story because you got a lot of Budinskis. NBC2. Abandoned boat in Charlotte County raising questions. An abandoned boat docked near a private boat ramp has residents wondering where it came from and who's living on it. The boat appeared next to a private boat ramp owned by Gulf Cove Community. The president of the property owners said she began getting messages about the boat the day it was tied to the dock on October the 29th.
And did they inform her that it was a mystery boat?
Well, she said she checked security cameras near the ramp. Those cameras caught a man tying the boat to the dock and taking off in broad daylight. The boat came equipped with items like soap, clothes, chairs, gas cans, plates, and even a soda cup. She said the items back up claims from residents that someone is living on that boat. Whose boat?
Are they what bothering boat? Anybody?
Everybody is afraid to come up on this boat because they don't know who could be hiding down there. I'm telling you, because it's private. Everybody has their boat slip. They pay for their boat slip. Mystery boat shows up. They go and they look around. They don't see any lights on. They don't see anything. Just a nice boat.
But somebody must be
but
in there.
But the cameras find out that there's a guy tying the boat up. It's all equipped with stuff to live with. Yeah, everybody's afraid to come up to this boat because they don't know who could be hiding down there. She said they have contacted Charlotte County officials and FWC and the sheriff's office about having the boat removed. But she added they were told it couldn't be hauled off and towed away because it's on private property and not county property. But the boat does not belong to the private property owner. officials with Charlotte County claim that Charlotte County residents have been reporting this boat.
The mystery boat.
The mystery boat. At various locations, private docks, public docks, showing up where it doesn't belong.
But is it doing anything?
Nobody knows who it is. They just want to find out who it is.
The guy scurrying around trying to live.
They say that this boat has shown up at locations all over Charlotte County since August. And they can't get the guy, whoever's living on it, to identify himself, where he came from. What the deal? They only have him on surveillance camera, and they know that he's equipped to live on it.
I don't blame him. I would do the same thing.
Hide out?
Yep.
It's like the guy that lived next door to me in the duplex that was wanted by the cops. Yeah, he'd be out on his lawn and hanging out until the cops came, and then there was nobody there.
Look, if this guy's not bothering anybody, it seems obvious if they've heard about this in other locations.
Yeah, and they want to know who it is.
That the guy probably can't afford docking fees, and so he's just moving around and trying to live
his life. I saw the boat. It's a nice boat.
Well, maybe it's stolen.
Precisely. And they want to know who it
How
is.
How nice a boat is it? I mean, is I it a sailboat? Say,
there it is.
Damn.
Yeah.
That ain't what I was picturing.
And they want to know whose boat it is. They don't know whose boat it is, where who's living on it. And he's docked at all these private docks. Slips
That's a nice
that
effing
his.
Boat.
I told you it was.
I'll tell you what that is. That's a divorced man.
Yes. Yes. They just want to find out.
The boat's all he has left.
That's all. They just want to find out.
And he can't afford fuel for the thing.
Just enough to move to another dock. There we go. There we go. That's a nice boat.
Hell yeah, that's a nice boat.
Yep. Hey, just, who is that? Who does... And there's the surveillance. They got the cameras up. I'm looking at the video footage of it. There's somebody there.
That's a nice boat.
They just don't know who. There you go.
Man, that's a nice boat.
That
is not at all what I was picturing when you were doing the story.
No, it's a nice boat.
I was picturing like an old sloop.
I just was notified by Matt Mangus earlier today. There's the mystery guy. They don't know who it is, and Mr. and Mrs. Budinsky want to know.
Well, it's got a license number.
I know
on
it.
It
does. They've seen it all over town.
Why is everybody ready to pounce on everybody else?
Well, you know what? A lot of people pay a lot of money to have that boat in a private boat slip.
Well, guess what? If he's got room to pull up there, somebody ain't using it at the moment.
At the moment?
And I bet if somebody did pull up and ask him nicely...
They can't find him!
Look, they think he's in there.
Hello?
You just walk up to the dock and go, another boat's coming in, we need the slip, thank you. And I bet you overnight it'll be gone.
Right. Overnight.
Yep. Wait for the sun to go down, see if the coast is clear.
Yeah. When we come back, Captain John Lazaro, R.E.T., from the Stan and Haney Draft Fund, has three check presentations. And I guess, Captain Lazaro, as I was saying, it's Veterans Day. These three check presentations, active military, and will someday be veterans.
Exactly.
And we have, and I have a few donations I will hand you to put into the bank.
Wow, that's awesome! What your listeners take care of the veterans.
You better believe it.
So well.
Yep. So we're gonna
Who do we have tuning in? San Diego.
We have San Diego. We have Yokosuka, and we have Norfolk, Virginia.
Awesome.
And the person in Norfolk might actually be underway.
Really?
On the Truman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, all Navy this week.
Yep.
Last time it was three Army. This time it's three Navy.
Oh, by the way, Captain. And
yes, sir.
So we're broadcasting around the world.
Around the globe.
Including our ships at sea.
Did everybody, because there was all that thing with Trump being at the World Series. Well, he was at the LSU-Alabama game, and here's what happened there.
President Trump and the First Lady in attendance today. Getting their sports fix on. World Series, UFC fight, Alabama-LSU. That's a pretty good couple of weeks.
Chose a good game, didn't he?
He sure did.
Listen to that crowd cheer
him. A little heightened security at Bryant-Denny Stadium. We sure. had the largest crowd ever 3 hours before a kickoff at a stadium in history, I think.
Isn't that something?
Well, that's, you know, when you go from Washington, D.C., into America, things change.
Yep. We'll be back with the captain right after this, Stan and Haney.
Hey, it's Dave and Chuck the Free. And now, back to Stan and Haney on 96K Rock. Everything that rocks.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us. It's Veterans Day. We salute our veterans, all of those who have served and have helped keep this country safe and secure, and Captain John Lazaro, our main man with the Stan and Haney Draft Fund, has joined us today, and I'm on the phone right now with a person who might want to also donate to the Draft Fund, so I'm in communication with him, But before we get to today's presentations, which we are looking forward to, three of them, right?
Yes, sir. Three presentations today.
I want to hand these over for deposit.
For deposit only.
First of all, the Guardian donated a nice little piece of cash.
Guardian, this is awesome. Thank you so much, Guardian.
He's
to the
a
Guardian.
Good man.
Yeah,
he
you
is.
Are a good man, Guardian. Thank you. I met you at one of the baseball games. Thank you so much.
Our buddy Eric, who runs Cowboys Concrete and Masonry.
Oh, come on. That's not really what he does.
He's the cannon guy.
He's an artilleryman.
You better believe it. I'm going to refresh your memory, Captain Lazaro. Every year, many times throughout the year, Christmas, Veterans Day, Memorial Day, we will get a check from this gentleman to the Stan and Haney Draft Fund, and he didn't let us down this time either.
Wow, that is awesome. Thank you so much for your continued support.
Let's see. And yes, sir, I just got it right now. Let me text him back. thank you. Aaron Walker from Naples Nissan, our buddy down there. Heard that you were in the studio just when you came in last break.
Right.
And he would like to pledge for the Stan and Haney Draft Fund $1,000.
Wow. That's so awesome, Aaron. Thank you so much.
Nice job.
Aaron Walker, I mean, top shelf. I mean, these people that donate to the Stan and Haney Draft Fund, whether it's an individual like the Guardian, whether it's Eric, our cannon guy, whether it's Aaron Walker from Naples Nissan, these guys know how important it is.
And a lot of people, you'll never know their names, have done great things.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Eric. Thank you, The Guardian. And thank you, Aaron.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So we have some more money going into the Stan and Haney Draft Fund, direct relief and assistance for Florida troops. And you have three people that are recipients of a draft fund check today.
We have three today, and I want to thank you, as always, for having me in. It's always an honor and a pleasure, and what a great day to do it, Veterans Day. We always try to piggyback presentations on holidays, Labor Day, Memorial Day. Veterans Day is a great day to do it. And today we have three for the Navy.
All
three Navy. Last time, I think it was Labor Day, we did three Army. This time we've got three Navy. And we'd love to get some other services involved. All you Marines out there, Air Force, Coast Guard, please get in touch with us for presentations. There's the Navy hymn in the background. So our first presentation today is to MU3 Ashley Oliveto. And I missed the waterman because he was always good about identifying what an MU is. Ashley is the granddaughter of Fort Myers residents John and Isabel Kelly. And MU is the Navy's musician rating, so Navy musician, MU. And Ashley is a clarinet instrumentalist. She has been in the Navy for about a year and recently got promoted to third-class petty officer. I'll tell you, getting through the Navy and all those services, musician programs, is very, very difficult.
You got to be good.
If you've seen them play it, all around the world, you got to be really good.
Yeah, you're not allowed to hit a clam in that band.
No. That's exactly right. So she's just made E4, petty officer third class. MU3 shipped to boot camp on 8 November 2018 and arrived in Japan on 3 May 2019 after 2 months of recruit training, otherwise known as boot camp, and then 3 months at the Navy School of Music, which is their A school, after everybody completes boot camp.
Don't kid yourself. She might have a vocation in music, but you got to go through all the rest of the stuff,
exactly,
too.
That's exactly right. Ashley is serving with the United States 7th Fleet Band in Yokosuka, Japan. Her basic duties are supporting the 7th Fleet Theater Security Cooperation Mission through performances in Japan and other countries across the Pacific Theater. The band is unique because they actually get the opportunity to deploy on board a ship and serve on board a ship. Yes. She's played in schools as well as concert halls throughout the region in order to spread music and Navy awareness to those who otherwise wouldn't be exposed to it. As a Navy musician professional, she says the team works to bring joy to every person they perform for. Ashley says she is so incredibly grateful for the opportunity and responsibility to serve. MU3 Oliveto says she loves her job and had been working towards being a Navy musician all throughout college and graduate school. So you don't just step into this particular rating. You have to prove yourself. She sends out a special thank you to all the K-Rock listeners for this recognition. Ashley hopes to advance to be the second ever female Master Chief, Petty Officer, musician in Navy Fleet Band history.
Wow.
So, Ashley, we know you can do it. We wish you the best of luck and all the success.
Well, on behalf of the Stan and Haney Draft Fund and all the donations that go into the fund, because that's what makes it possible, your donations, this check for Ashley and her family.
Yes, thank you so much. And Ashley, I know you're listening out in Yokosuka, so best of luck, be safe, and we'll see you home soon.
So we got somebody right now listening in Japan.
Yep, in Japan right now. With the time change and all that, she made sure that she was up for the broadcast.
Awesome. So what time would it be her time?
You know, I don't know. I have to Google that. But about 12 hours later, roughly.
Hi, Ashley. Yeah. Hi, Ash. There you go.
Konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa. Our second presentation is to PRC Eric Balger. Eric is the brother-in-law of Fort Myers resident and Navy veteran Kurt King. PR is the Navy rating for Air Crew Survival Equipment Men. Chief Balger has been in the Navy for 21 years. So
God,
we have somebody been
him.
In Navy 1 year,
yeah.
And now somebody 21 years. It's a great day. He is responsible for keeping parachutes, life rafts, personal flight gear, and other aviation survival gear in proper working condition. Eric's current duty station is Helicopter Marine Strike Squadron, or HSM-35, the Magicians, in San Diego, California.
Do you have enough light in here?
I do, yeah. It's just that I didn't bring my reading glass. Look at the font on this. I had to blow it up.
Yeah,
to
I know. I see that.
50, and I still... So you got to love the aviators and the aviation community because they have nicknames for everything. So he's with the Magicians right now in San Diego, California. He was previously assigned to the aircraft carrier USS Ronald Reagan in Japan. Other assignments include water survival instructor in North Carolina and Florida, Helicopter C Combat Squadron, or HSC-23, the Wild Cards, and Helicopter Anti-Submarine Squadron Light, or HSL-47, the Saberhawks in San Diego, and Strike Fighter Squadron VFA-15, the Valiants, in Virginia. Chief Balger's grandfather was in World War II, and as I said earlier, his brother-in-law, Kurt, was in the Navy. Eric wants to thank everyone who supports the military and sends also a special thanks to all the K-Rock listeners and to all of his family in Florida. His amazing wife, 2-year-old daughter, and 4-year-old dog. The Balgers also have a new baby daughter arriving next month. So congratulations.
Wow, this will help.
Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Eric said he couldn't have been so successful in the Navy without the support of each and every member of his family. So, Eric, thank you for your long service and we wish you the continued success.
And it's amazing, you know, when we start talking about all of the different specialties.
Yeah, the ratings. Yep.
It takes such a big team to make all of these things work.
Yeah, and think of what Eric does and his team. You know, they take care of all the survival gear for the pilots. They go in the water. They got to have their parachutes working. They got to have their survival gear working.
Right.
If the water's cold, they only have a certain amount of time in the water. And that's what he does. That's what he and his crew do that, he and his team.
Well, on behalf of the Stan and Haney Draft Fund and everyone who has donated to the Stan and Haney Draft Fund, here's a check for Eric and his family, and especially with a new one on the way.
That's great.
Put it to good use.
And I know I texted Kurt earlier today, and I know Kurt's also listening. He's from Fort Myers, and he was in the Navy. So, Kurt, thank you for your service. So we have 5 Navy
yes.
people today, including myself. How about that? All right, and our last presentation, and wait till you hear what this young man does. Our final presentation is for EMN2 Frederick Husk. Frederick is the son of Kelly Baker, and this is exactly how the Stan and Haney Fund should work. Kelly texted or emailed me after the last presentation that she wanted to nominate her son.
Yep.
So here we go. So there's a listener, you know, checking in. Kelly and her fiancé Chris Boyle live in Punta Gorda. EMN is the Navy rating for electrician's mate nuclear. And Frederick is a second-class petty officer, so he's an E5. When you're an E5, you're a second-class petty
officer. Well, you told me to write down EMN3.
Did I say EMN3?
What is it? Do I need
Should
to make
EMN2,
it to
EMN2, but that's okay.
Okay.
Because you got Kelly's name. Sorry, Frederick. Just like Stan tries to demote me, I...
look, I just wasn't sure what your rank was.
Unintentionally didn't gave you the third-class petty officer. And all you Navy folks out there, you know how hard you work to get that extra stripe. He's been in the Navy for 6 years. EMN2 Husk is currently...
Hold on. Stan didn't mean anything by that.
By what?
You've been beaten up so much lately for
yeah,
things you didn't mean
I,
to
I,
say.
I didn't mean to say that, Ensign.
Yeah, but you meant to say. That's the difference. Exactly.
Did you go in as an ensign?
Yes, I went to OCS, Officer Candidate School, for 4 months, and then you get commissioned as an ensign. And well, actually, while you're at Officer Candidate School, you're an E5. You're getting paid as an enlisted second-class petty officer, and then you get commissioned.
Okay, so ensign is entry-level
officer. Entry-level, like a second lieutenant in
Air
Force.
Okay, so you were in as an ensign.
Ensign, correct.
Then you got, how long were you an ensign? For how many years?
2 years.
Then you got promoted to commander?
No, Lieutenant JG after ensign.
Oh, then you went to Lieutenant JG.
Or just JG for short. Hey, JG, do this, do that.
Okay, and then you were that for how long?
2 years.
And then you were...
Lieutenant.
Demoted to back to ensign.
No, lieutenant.
You know, by you.
You know what the ensign salute is, right?
What's that?
Hey, ensign, do that. And then you just kind of go like that because, you know, you're an ensign. You shrug your shoulders.
So what is it? A lot of grunt work?
Or, yes, a lot. And then the first name of every ensign is Justin Ensign. All this inside Navy stuff.
You're right.
So,
yeah.
All right. So,
okay. So then you're ensign, then you're a
JG. Then you're a lieutenant or LT.
And how long were you a lieutenant?
You're a lieutenant so long that when I went to OCS, one of our instructors was a lieutenant, and he said that when we got commissioned and made lieutenant in 4 years, he would still be a lieutenant because you're a lieutenant for 6 years.
Were you a lieutenant for 6 years?
Yeah, 6 years. And then longer. Why would I be longer?
I don't know. Disciplinary things. You know? Then you became a commander.
Then you're a lieutenant commander or light commander.
Once again, you're so lucky Stan's not in charge of anything.
I'm glad he's not on my side.
So you're not a full commander yet. No. You become something else.
Correct. About 5 years as a light commander or light colonel.
And were you a light commander?
Lieutenant commander. Yeah, that's like a major in the Army. So then you're a lieutenant commander for about 5 years.
Yeah.
Then you pick up. They call it pickup. They pick up commander because that's when you get the different cover with the scrambled eggs
the gold braids on. Yes.
Right. That's as a commander.
Okay.
A commander.
That's when Stan started to respect you.
Yeah. Could be. And then that's like a lieutenant colonel in the Army.
Okay. And so, that's when you were a commander.
Yeah. And then about 20 years in, or more for some people, but me, thankfully, was only 20 years. Then you pick up 06 captain. Then you're a Navy captain, which is like a full colonel.
You really moved up the ranks.
Just the same as everybody else. Not any more or less. But yeah, I mean, I was blessed to make captain because it's a 20% select rate to make Navy captain. So
right.
I was thankful to make it the first time because if you don't make it the first time, then you get passed over.
Yeah.
Then you go into the secondary.
So here's
pile.
A stupid civilian question for you. The Navy personnel that captain a boat.
Right.
What's their rank generally?
They're not always captains. A Navy captain will captain a aircraft carrier, but the skipper of a frigate, I was on an FFG frigate, guided missile frigate, was a commander. But you'll have a lot of small boats, like a PT-109, like John F. Kennedy.
Yeah.
That could be a JG. So the
PT-73, McHale had that, and he was a what?
He was probably a Lieutenant JG. Yeah.
But on board, would you still call him captain?
Yes. So you could say skipper or captain. So captain can be a rank, and captain can also be a job. So you'll say...
So if you were on that boat, you would outrank him.
I would technically outrank him, but there won't be any captains on a FFG, on a guided missile frigate, because they want the highest-ranking officer on a small ship like that to be the actual captain
of
the ship.
But if you found yourself there through whatever circumstance, technically you would outrank
him.
And he would have to salute you.
Well, when we were off the ship walking side by side, yes, then he would salute
on
me.
But on the ship, he's the boss.
He's the boss. He's the skipper. He's the captain.
All right.
Fair
enough. Very confusing.
It is confusing. It can be very confusing.
Let's get back to Frederick.
Let's get back to the final presentation. All right, Frederick. Sorry about that, folks. All right.
So on an aircraft carrier.
I always wanted to say that because I hear you guys say that.
So on an aircraft carrier, the captain would be a captain.
Yes, correct. But there would also be other captains on an aircraft carrier, like the department heads, the Chang. We talked about the chief engineer, Richard, being the Chang. On a big ship like that would be a captain. More seniority.
But it's different when they're off the boat.
Well, when they're off the boat, they're still equals. Now, the other thing that make it more confusing is there's seniority, too, based on your lineal date of rank. So, like, if you were made captain on January 1st of whatever year, and somebody else made it on February 1st, then you're more senior because you're a month longer of a captain. That's why it's so confusing. That's why we have to go to school for all these courses.
Yeah.
And then the scrambled eggs help.
Exactly. Now, when you make flag rank, you get double scrambled eggs.
Were you flag rank?
No. No, I was not flag ranked. That's like a less than 0.5% select ratio.
All right.
If I made flag, I could stay in for 6 more years.
If only
if I made flag.
All right,
back to Frederick. Sorry, Frederick. I know you're probably in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean on the Truman waiting for your name to be called.
Hey, Truman.
Hey. So where was I, folks? Okay, so...
We want to say hello to everybody on the Truman.
Yeah.
Yes. Kelly and her fiancé, Chris Boyle, live in Punta Gorda. Kelly is Frederick's mom. Kelly nominated Frederick for this presentation. EMN is the Navy rating for electrician's mate nuclear, and Frederick is a second-class petty officer. We already did that. Sorry. He's been in the Navy for 6 years. He's currently stationed on board the USS Harry S. Truman. CVN is the designation for carrier. Carrier nuclear. The N stands for nuclear.
Thank you.
75 in Norfolk, Virginia. He has been on 2 deployments to the Med and the European area. Now, wait till you see what he does. Petty Officer Husk. So you figure he's a second-class petty officer, so maybe he's, what, 24 years old?
Yeah.
When he was 18, he's been in 6 years.
How old were you when you were that?
Well, 30? I didn't go until I was 26. So I was an ensign at 26. Just an ensign. So Frederick stands watch as the low dispatcher where he controls the distribution of the nuclear power at 24 years old.
Wow.
To this carrier.
That's some responsibility.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
So he also performs maintenance of the electrical equipment on board the Truman. His grandfather served in the Navy during the Korean War. He also wants to especially say thank you to K-Rock, his mother, Kelly Baker, for nominating him and for always supporting him, his wife, Cheyenne, and their 2-year-old daughter for all the continuous support. Frederick says, thank you so much for this honor. He is very excited to be recognized. And, as the song ends, go Navy.
On behalf of the Stan and Haney Draft Fund and people from all over the world that donate.
That's right.
Here's a check for Frederick and his family, and hope he puts it to good use.
Thank you so much.
And regardless of what kind of power, when a ship's underway, it's steaming, right?
Yes, yes, you're steaming. And that, of course, goes back to the old days when it was mainly boiler power, now steam power. Now right. You've got nuclear power. You've got we had gas turbine engines on the frigate. And
but we just retain that out
yeah,
of tradition.
Yeah, we retain that like they call the bathroom. You know why they call the bathroom on a ship the head? Because in the old days, the bathroom facility was in the bow or the front of the ship because under sail or wind power, you obviously wanted that particular area to be ahead of the wind so the wind would blow right. The smell. But that's why they call it that. And, you know, the galley, yep. The galley, the deck,
yep.
Your rack where you sleep, yep. Bulkheads.
Yeah.
Now the bathroom. Now the bathrooms on a Navy ship. Do they have because of the integration now of the sexes? Do they have gals and buoys?
No, they don't.
Gulls and buoys.
They'll have a little sign that says whoever's in the head.
About 4 minutes. Left.
Everything I learned, it came from a seafood restaurant yes, right. Where you had your gulls and buoys.
Yes, yes.
You have a few. It confuses
the male buoy.
You.
Yeah.
If you want, first of all, let's go, and if you want to donate to the Stan and Haney Draft Fund.
Right. So
what do you do?
You were saying that there's contributions that come in all over the world. That
yeah.
Is exactly true. We've got a gentleman up north that regularly contributes. And you can walk into any bank branch, any Wells Fargo bank branch in the country, go up to the teller line and tell them you want to make a donation to the Stan and Haney Draft Fund. They will look that up, and you can make that donation. If they have trouble finding the account, get a hold of me through the website,
yep.
If needed, because we'll nail it down.
Now,
if need be, they can pull rank and say, please contact
yes.
Captain
we had
Lozaro.
That happen at the yeah. Gulf Point branch twice.
We had, yeah, we had it yep. happen a couple yep. of times. They couldn't so. Find it, and but sure enough, it's
yeah.
there.
I guess they spelled Stan wrong. I don't yeah. know how hard that is.
Yeah.
But, you know,
well,
so.
Yeah, he gets a lot of different, yeah. you know,
the ampersand
Stanta.
Instead of the A-N-D.
Well, he gets letters to Stanta, yeah. and some people call it Satan.
If you wanna bring
at least he doesn't say R-E-T all the
time. If you want to bring a check down here.
Yep.
We can make sure that it gets to where it needs to go. And so there are many ways to go do it. You go directly to any Wells Fargo, do it. You can drop a check off down here. If you see Captain Lozaro on the street, yep. you know, glad to hand him with a few bucks.
We accept stocks.
Yep.
We're a charitable organization. We're 501c3. I can get you the 501c3 information. So it's a tax
what
deduction.
A great job
so,
you've done.
Thank you.
And
my pleasure.
If there is somebody in the way that, you know, this is Veterans Day.
Right.
This is designed for future veterans. You have to be in active service with a family member that is local.
Correct.
And they can contact you. They can contact us here at the radio station.
Correct.
You will vet them.
We vet the process, and we are more than ready to do a contribution as well as do a presentation. We want to give this money away. That's what it's there for.
Yep.
The service member does not necessarily have to be from Southwest Florida as long as a family member is.
Connection.
A connection to Southwest
Florida. Yeah, exactly. It's just
a
connection.
And here is the thing. There are people listening to us. And, Captain, you and I were just talking about it before we went on the air. There are people listening to us right now who have an active duty family member, or they may be active duty themselves from Southwest Florida. And they say, no, that's probably not for me. I don't know. Give it to somebody.
Well,
no,
we talk about it all the time. They're the last people to ask for anything.
It's what it's designed for.
I've got three emails right now that I can't get the person to respond because I know that they're thinking, oh, I don't really need the money. I don't need this. I don't need that. It's a presentation to you as a military member.
Yep.
So you should accept it. So if you're listening and you know I emailed you, email me back.
Because here's the deal. There are family. You're going stationed somewhere, and there's family here. Holidays are coming up.
Right.
We have one presentation today. A baby's on the way. They may be going in, and they don't have the certain supplies and stuff.
This is just another way of saying thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service. You can use the money any way you want. You could give it to somebody else for all we don't ask what you used it for.
Well, we'd prefer not.
Once
it's your money, it's your money.
We've had people that have had events for the people in their command.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, you know, the genesis of this goes back to Iraq.
Yep.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of people at that time were, let's send care packages, let's do this, let's have a drive and have people bring all this stuff and we'll ship it over. And the more people that we talked to, and especially the people that were actually in Iraq, they said, you know what, we love the idea of all that. But the best thing is if we get cash, we can get what we need.
Right.
Yeah.
So much more.
And it's
Kevlar
so much quicker.
At the one time, Kevlar. We used to buy phone
cards. Camelbacks.
Camelbacks. We used to do phone cards. They don't have phone cards anymore. Put the money towards a new iPhone.
Sat phones. We got a lot
that
of
was
units.
That was the first thing we did was a sat phone.
So that's what it's for. And once again, I want to thank you.
It's my pleasure. It's
for
an
your
honor.
Service with our fund and your service as a veteran.
And especially with the holidays coming up, we always talk about this. Where is it they send them? Baltimore?
Yep. Yeah, through Baltimore.
How are you going to get home?
Yep.
If you want to get somebody home for Christmas, we can help.
Yep.
And we joke around, but this is a great cause, and we're all dedicated to it.
We are.
And I thank you for
letting
me be a part
of it. Captain, thank you so very much.
My pleasure.
Not possible without you, pal. You have you stepped up to the plate in a big way a long time ago.
Yep.
And that's why we're still doing this.
It's an honor to be part of it, believe me.
We're going
to
take a break. We'll be back. We're Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Two men, two microphones, and way too much baggage.
We're going to pee on you.
Ew. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us this Monday afternoon, Veterans Day, as we salute and honor all those who served this great country. We're going to get you updated on traffic here in just a second. News headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails. And we want to thank Captain Lazaro for coming in. And we got several text messages on the Absolute Law text line of people that A, didn't know about the draft fund, and B, who would like to know how to contact Captain Lazaro. So thank you very, very much for that. And again, I want to thank Aaron Walker from Naples Nissan. I want to thank Eric from Cowboys Concrete. And I want to thank The Guardian, all donating today, Veterans Day,
and
to the draft fund.
And not the first time they've been with us
for a long ride. Yep. So thank you to all of them. Greatly appreciated. Wayback Machine coming up in about another 25 minutes or so.
You know, I will never forget Eric coming out for the grand unveiling of Stan and Haney Boulevard and shooting off that cannon.
Well, when we were talking about it, because we did a big thing when we had the unveiling of the street sign, several years ago now, and he contacted us. He said, would you like me when you do the unveiling of the street sign to fire a cannon?
Yes.
And we've been great friends ever since, and he never fails to make a donation to the Stan and Haney Draft Fund. And I'll tell Eric right now, I gave my wife the card that he sent for both my wife and myself for our wedding. And thank you again, Eric, for that as well. So there you go. Honor a veteran any way you can today, because they gave the ultimate sacrifice. Adam who's our operations manager here, Adam Starr. I was explaining to him, because a lot of us don't realize it, and we did it here on the show. Back in the 60s, when they started the draft, they had the draft lottery. Mm-hmm. And veterans who served in Vietnam know this very well. You knew what your draft number was. And they have a thing on the website, several ones, but there's one really good one. And you put yourself in that time. Now, I think the draft lottery affected those that were born in 1950, the 69 draft lottery that was done to draft people to fight, and many die in Vietnam. You can punch in your birthday. Just do a hypothetical thing that if you were of age in 1969, would you have been drafted or would you not have been drafted based on what your number was? And I was telling Adam about it. I said, well, let's hypothetically say you were 19 years old in 1969. Would you have been drafted? And you look up your birthday, the month, and the day, and that's your draft number. And then you hit the send button, and it will say, was your number selected? He didn't get drafted if he was in 1969. Missed it by 3 days. He was safe. You, Mark Haney, would have been safe. I would have been drafted. My number was selected. Haney's number wasn't. Adam, who had no idea about this, he also would not have been selected. And it was all, and our veterans know this, it was all about what your draft number was. And would you be selected to be drafted and wind up fighting in Vietnam? There's a website for you. You can check it out. It really brings a little bit of reality, thinking back. I'm 19, and suddenly I'm going to go to a foreign land and fight. Yes.
I posted a link of it up on the Stan and Haney Show Facebook page.
Did you put your birth date in there?
Yes.
And?
I was not drafted.
Oh, okay. It was a lottery. Little blue capsules were drawn, and it was a luck of the draw. Unbelievable for a 19-year-old to face.
And, you know, it's one of those things that that we know, but you wonder what are they teaching kids now? Do people realize that wasn't that long ago?
Wasn't that long ago. It was 50 years ago. Not that long ago.
I bet there are some young people that would blow their mind.
Yep.
They did what?
Yep, and you would have been selected. Or you weren't selected.
This time.
Following year, you might have been.
I'll tell you what, I'm shocked that you would have been selected and I wasn't, because God knows they want us on every jury.
Yep, that's the truth. Let's see. Anger Management Rage Room. You want to bust up stuff and not get in trouble? Check them out, Cypress Lake Drive.
Not get in trouble?
Yep.
No, you'll be celebrated and cheered.
Go to amrageroom.com. All right, a couple of things on the board. We'll start in Fort Myers. Got a crash. American Outdoors Boulevard and South Tamiami Trail. And the other one that's on the board, it's a crash. Fort Myers Beach, the 17,000 block of San Carlos Boulevard, right by the Walmart. And you are up to date. Coming up in less than 1 hour, the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney. He is the news. What can you expect? Well, Haney's got today's headlines for you.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you did not know.
All right.
In a preemptive Thanksgiving strike, wild turkeys are terrorizing a retirement community in New Jersey.
They are. They're vicious.
I saw this story over the weekend. I think it's cool, okay? I think it shows the nice side of people. It happens in the restaurant business. severe scheduling error. In Alabama, at the Waffle House, because they messed up the schedule, only one guy showed up for work.
Yep.
He was in the weeds, on his own, taking orders, cooking the food, doing the dishes, all by himself. Until, without being asked, random customers took over the other jobs.
Yep. Oh, it's the Waffle House family.
Isn't that wonderful? Yep. Another gender reveal stunt gone horribly wrong.
Yep.
Man breaks into a store to save mannequins from sex trafficking. And finally, the coolest man in the world. A man breaks into an apartment without realizing the gentleman inside won't take it sitting down because he likes to use authentic medieval combat weapons. It was a bloody affair.
Yep.
These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. Laughter. We try to bring it to you each and every day with the 4 o'clock fluffer, brought to you by Firehouse Subs, Fort Myers, Cape Coral. Mark?
Stan?
Everyone?
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Ladies, how are you?
Today is Veterans Day, and with that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
interesting Veterans Day facts.
Top interesting Veterans Day facts.
Today honors people who survived dangerous battle zones like Vietnam, the Persian Gulf, and The View when Don Jr. is on. We don't have many World War II veterans left, but the ones we do have, they're keeping CBS on the air. It honors those who sacrifice so much so you have the freedom to fight in line for a Popeye's chicken sandwich.
Oh. Had one this weekend. Had another this weekend.
The first one was celebrated in 1919. Oh, wait, check that.
What?
Sorry, I don't know how it got on the list. That's Joe Biden's birthday.
Look at this, y'all.
Seventy 70% of millennials believe the Battle of the Bulge was fought over Viagra reserves.
Oh, my God. No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way. And somebody just pointed it out, Absolute Law text line, that lottery, that draft lottery in 69, broadcast on live TV. So you were watching and the numbers being drawn. Ugh. Live TV.
It's like the opposite of a snow day broadcast.
Yep.
And finally, the very top interesting Veteran Day fact.
Yes.
You know, this is a day where we put aside our political differences and salute our veterans. And that means everyone.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, even Rachel Maddow honors veterans with her haircut. And that, my friends, is the horn.
Elvis
has left the building. Email ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
What?
Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
Okay.
All right, let's get through these quickly. This is from our friend Meg. She's doing well, Haney.
Thank you.
Ahoy, Stan and Haney. Haney, you have something rare, and that's called Care Bear DNA. That's something that should never be overlooked. I don't know what would be more interesting, Dave going into the haunted house that you guys were talking about, or Dave diagramming a sentence from the Guardian's email. Sign Meg. It's from Al. Ahoy, gentlemen. I was just thinking about how we are coming up to the year 2020 and how in later years, how should we refer to these upcoming years? We will be referring to the 2020s as the 20s again, going full circle. Or will the cupcake woke America people ruin something again because it might confuse them or offend them? Also, could you do me a favor and play the sound effect of Stan back in the day describing his garbage disposal and how it sounds? I don't even know if it exists anymore. Love you guys as always. Signed, Al.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Guardian.
Jesus.
Ahoy, gentlemen. Guys, first I want to thank each and every veteran for their service to this great country. If it wasn't for them, who knows what would have happened.
Well, we got a pretty good idea.
Yep. Thank you again. So are you ready for the open hearings on the fraudulent impeachment? This whole process is the most ridiculous thing I have ever seen. Why can't Schiff and the rest of the left just be honest and let the process play out? But no, Schiff has to act like someone, like some kind of communist. But you know, the truth will come out, and the Dems and the left will pay the price for their criminal acts.
I cannot wait for the IG report to find out what John Durham has found.
Yep. Brennan and Clapper and the whole gang. Wayback Machine is next. We'll tell you where we're going. This is the Stan and Haney program.
Ain't nothing but a Jeep bang, baby.
Sizzling, hissling, after nizzle on 96K Rizzle. That's right, we're quite hip on the sharp cutting edge of 1999.
Bitch.
Well, it's more serrated than sharp, but it gets the job done.
Right back up in your motherfucking ass.
Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Mark Haney in the news in less than a half hour. We're going to jump into the Wayback Machine this afternoon here in just a second. Going to take a look at the bottom five of American Top 40. These were the hits that were either just coming onto the charts or falling off or didn't move that much from the bottom five of American Top 40.
I'm not sure what you're saying, but it sounds exciting.
Yeah, it is. These, that's the bottom. So we're going to go 40 to 36 on the countdown today. We'll tell you when. Also want to tell you very quickly, and you heard us talking about it earlier, this is going to benefit the Stan and Haney Draft Fund, and it is a great stopover if you're going to see Five Finger Death Punch at Hertz Arena on Saturday. Before the concert, Haney and I...
Little pregame.
Haney and I are going to be at Duffy's Sports Bar right there at Stony Brook Golf Boulevard in Estero, right next to Hertz Arena. We're going to be there from 3 to 5 p.m. And joining us will be Chris Kale of Five Finger Death Punch. He'll be there signing autographs, taking photos, and we simply ask for a donation, your choice, to the Stan and Haney Draft Fund to help the troops. So you get a picture, you get an autograph, get to hang out a little bit with them, get to hang out a little bit with us, and it's going to help benefit the Stan and Haney Draft Fund. Little pregame for the Five Finger Death Punch show on Saturday, 3 to 5 p.m., Duffy Sports Bar, 21253 Stony Brook Golf Boulevard in Estero. Let's get you updated on traffic before we go to the Wayback Machine. Couple of things on the board. We have Fort Myers crash, the 9900 block of University Plaza Drive right by the Chili's, and a crash in Estero, South Tamiami Trail and Estero Parkway. And you are up to date. We do this every Monday. We take a look at what was on the Billboard pop charts for this very week in a particular year. We're going to look at the bottom of American Top 40. For this day in a particular year, let's see where we're going.
Hello out there. Peabody and Sherman here. The Wayback Machine, my incomparable invention for traveling through time, has been set for the year...
This week in 1975.
to dance to it not so long ago. Now let's live it up again with Stan and Haney. Number 40.
E-L-O. Who, incidentally, in the UK, Jeff Lynne's ELO, the number one album. I don't know what it's doing in the U.S., but it made big news. He's number one in the U.K. I think it might be the hotline.
Yeah.
The Sylvies.
Number, please. Hotline, hotline. Calling on the hotline. For your love, for your love. Hotline, hotline. Calling on the hotline. On the hotline.
I'm calling on the hotline for your love.
Okay,
my
Boomer.
Is baby, whoa, girl, the way you move
Shatner
your
killed
neck.
It, though.
I can tell you got fire in your kiss. The way you flash your eyes looks like lightning, lightning up the sky.
Yeah.
Stop all the calls in the world till I catch you, girl. Catch you at home.
Ah!
fired.
Not again.
The big 96.
Should I get in touch with the FBI?
I
don't know.
Boy, that escalated quickly.
Right there. This is the hotline.
Oh, Peter. Peter. Peter struck. I love you so much.
Those lovers.
Lisa. Lisa. Oh, I love you, Lisa.
They were both on the hotline.
Uh-oh.
What?
I see one of the greatest songs of all time ahead.
Coming up, this Eric Clapton opened, he got number 37. Oh, no, we still got a way to go yet, don't we? This is Tyrone Davis.
That's what I'm talking about.
Give it up.
One of the greatest songs of all time. You got to turn it loose.
That's right. This is one of the great ones.
Turn it loose.
Got to give it up.
Turn it loose.
Turn it loose.
Give it up.
Give it up. Turn
it loose.
I went downtown the other day.
Yeah, you did.
And I heard a woman say,
"What you hoid?
I do all I can for that man.
Yeah.
At home he still won't stay.
You got to give it up.
I could tell the way that woman spoke. Her heart was truly broke.
Yeah.
She said, if a man can't treat his woman right, give her good loving day and night, he sure oughta.
Yeah. Yeah. Black love.
Turn it loose.
Turn it loose. Yeah. Like my tooth.
Yeah.
Give it up. Just
love. Black love. Turn it loose.
When you need your man.
Yes.
To be satisfied. And he tells you no.
Yes.
With no reason why.
What?
You will finally find out for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There ain't no love between the two of you left.
Get it up. Man, that is deep.
Yep. Turn it loose.
Turn it loose.
Turn it loose. Turn it up.
Give it up.
Turn it loose.
Turn it loose.
Not stiff.
When you try as hard as you can.
Yeah.
To do what you think is right.
Uh-huh.
And still,
is he making this up as he goes along?
Yeah.
Ooh, that same old show, love.
Because he's not really singing.
No.
He's just telling you stuff.
Here's what you do.
Here's what you do.
Turn it loose.
Give it up.
Turn it loose.
Turn it loose.
Turn it loose.
Turn it loose. Give it up.
Turn it loose.
If you're loving your baby every day and every night, it means you ain't when got some job.
Give it up.
Turn it loose.
When you see it just ain't no use.
Yeah.
Turn it loose.
What? Ain't no use. Turn it loose.
Way late at night.
Yeah.
When you laying down.
Yes.
You need some hugging, but no one's around. You walk around all day long with love on your mind.
Aren't you at work?
You're thinking about the love that you just get sometimes.
Give it up.
That made no sense right there.
Turn it loose.
are you talking about, Tyrone?
And there ain't no company at all.
What?
All you need is a little love and touch.
That's love.
And when you don't get it, we can hurt you so much.
Give it up. That's love.
Turn
that's
it loose. Black love.
Turn it loose.
That's love. That's black love. Love.
Give it up.
Turn it loose.
Turn it loose. You got the turn it loose.
Yeah. That's Tyrone Davis.
Give it up.
With the loose tooth.
Give it up.
Loof like my tooth.
One of the most underrated Eric Clapton songs. He opens his concerts with this. Great song. Hello, old friend.
Hello yourself.
As I'm strolling down the garden path, I saw a flower glowing in the dark. It looked so pretty.
Give it up.
Got to turn it loose. Break my tooth.
Very busy song.
Yes.
Everybody's got to work on this one.
A lot of stuff.
Yep. Almost too much.
Some would say.
An old man passed me on the street today. I thought I knew him, but I couldn't say. I stopped to think if I could place his frame. When he tipped his hat, I knew his name. Hello, old friend.
Hello, old friend.
It's really good to see.
Is that Yvonne Elliman back there? It sounds like
I'm going to look that up, because you could be right. Last one we're going to take a look at was the number 36 hit in 1975, Lowell River Band. It's a long way there. You know, they were around a long time, the Lowell River Band.
Yeah, this is way before they peaked. I will admit, I love the Little River Band.
Who doesn't?
Lots of people.
Really?
Yeah. Not cool enough.
Uh-huh.
Hey, everybody, put your hands together. All the way from Australia, it's the Little River Band. If you don't care.
I'm on the road and getting nowhere. I'm on the road to see if anything is anywhere waiting just for me.
Yeah.
Every night I walk around the city.
Is this Yacht Rock?
Seems like
yes.
I'm
number one song in the land. Rod Stewart's Tonight's the Night. Mark Haney and the News is next. This is the Stan and Haney Show.
The battered bastards of Beasley Media Group, Stan and Haney on 96 K Rock.
Hey everybody, Stan and Haney. Mark Haney in the News coming up here in just a second. We'll also get you updated on traffic for your drive home. Do you know that WrestleMania, which will happen April 5th, it's a Sunday, is going to be at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa? That's right. The biggest wrestling event is going to be right up the road in Tampa. All the WWE superstars, celebrities, the biggest matches, the grandest stage of all, WrestleMania.
Woo!
Now, here's how you can get in quick. Pre-sale tickets.
Oh, you didn't know?
Uh-huh. Pre-sale tickets go on sale Wednesday at Ticketmaster.com. Write down the pre-sale code. 96K-Rock, 96K-Rock, 96, and then K-Rock. That's the pre-sale code, which will allow you to get the tickets on Wednesday. The general sale begins on Friday at 10 at Ticketmaster.com. All right, now, within the next half hour, I'm going to give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to WrestleMania.
You're going
to
make it happen?
K-Rock has tickets all week long. I'm just going to test the waters in less than a half hour to see if anybody's interested in some little thing called WrestleMania up in Tampa. About 30 minutes. Not now. About 30 minutes. That's the granddaddy of them all as far as wrestling goes. WrestleMania.
That's what I love about wrestling. Wrestling only has the mania, not the depression.
No, nope. Just see, like, Rob knows that.
Maybe. Was that a good joke, Rob?
That's real good. Made me laugh real hard.
Okay. Are you going to steal it?
Maybe.
Just the mania.
Yeah, you only get the mania.
That's right. Xfinity. Haney and I have been Xfinity customers for a long time, and I want to tell you about the X1. Xfinity X1 delivers the simplest, most complete way to access and experience all of your entertainment on all of your screens.
With X1 DVR, you can watch and record up to 6 shows.
Wow.
I don't know that I could personally do that, but you can.
Yep.
If you're capable of it.
Yep.
Plus, you start watching in one room, finish in another. You can track multiple games at once, check the latest scores and standings, all while watching another show or another game.
That's crazy.
X1.
It's crazy.
Gives you easy access to apps right on your TV screen. You can check weather and traffic, watch Netflix and Amazon Prime Video, as well as YouTube. You can even listen to music on Pandora and iHeartRadio, and more. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store today.
Restrictions apply. All right, let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home this afternoon. Okay, let's see. Okay, that one's good. Okay, that one. One thing on the board. Disabled vehicle. Fort Myers. Sunshine Boulevard and State Road 82. Now, you say Fort Myers, well, aren't you going into Lehigh there? That's right at that mess up where they tried to fix everything up at State Road 82, where Daniels becomes Lee. And there's where your disabled vehicle is. We'll have another traffic update for you in about 30 minutes. Mark Haney and the News. Brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. Starts right now.
Nightly News. with David Brinkley in Washington and John Chancellor in New York.
Hi, I'm Garrick Gutley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Monday, November 11th.
Double M-X-I-X.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Time now for Things You Did Not Know.
Okay.
You know, when you are a small child, you wonder, wonder how tall I'm going to be when I grow up.
Yeah, I might be a six-footer. That's my grandmother.
Yeah.
She was very disappointed in me that I wasn't a six-footer like my grandfather.
You know, you're right. That was in our generation. Yep. That was a big deal. And when I made it, everybody celebrated.
Be a six-footer. Then you've got the world in your hand. And I can remember she was in her 80s, and, I just wish you would have been a six-footer like your grandfather. Thank you, and I'll get a real job, too, someday.
Easy, Stan.
I'm sorry.
She can't hurt you now.
No.
She can't hurt you
now. No, everything's okay now.
Although, your grandfather was a hell of a man.
Yes, he was. Extremely talented. I possess none of his musical talent.
Yep. He was a six-footer. Could play an instrument.
Yep. Multiple instruments.
You tried.
I tried. And you know what? It's in my blood to keep trying.
Well, now that your daughter is grown, you can't make her cry anymore.
And I'm thinking, well, what do I want to do? I think I'm going to try again. I can't have an electric guitar where I am.
Yes, you can.
It's too loud.
No, I know exactly what you need to do, what you should have done always.
What?
Because you got your fat sausage fingers.
Yes!
You should play the bass.
I tried. Believe it or not, when I was in high school, I learned that.
You only have to fret one string at a time, and you got strong, fat fingers.
Yeah. Would you one day bring your guitar in, and if I somehow come across a bass guitar, I'm not going to talk about it on the air, but if I somehow come across a bass guitar... Mm-hmm. That we can play together. You can show me which the notes on the bass to play, and we can play a song together.
Sure.
We'll do that right in the studio. Tell me, this is where you got to go, and then we'll go. And
you know what? I'll make you sound good.
That's what I want to do. And then you and I can collaborate.
I mean, you saw what I did for Dave.
Yeah. Yeah. Whoa. Oh, what, on El Camino?
Yeah.
That's all you. Yeah, you guys, Randy Bailey really buried his guitar playing in that thing. Really buried it.
He's a good rhythm player.
Yeah.
He really is.
Yeah, when he's not in the studio drunk.
Well, that's true. But anyway, we went down the rabbit hole here.
Sorry.
Kid wondering, am I going to be a six-footer?
Yeah.
Well, here's what they tell me. And I'm having a hard time picturing this. They say the average person is about halfway to their final adult height by the time they celebrate their second birthday.
Are kids walking by two?
Some
not.
Mm-hmm.
God, there's somebody, I can't mention names. I know somebody who has a kid, and another kid, they were born at the same time. The other one is talking and running and playing.
Yeah, happens.
And the other kid,
it does happen. Can't read too much into it. You just ignore it and hope for the best.
Has a lot to do with attention and parenting.
It does.
It does.
I tell you, my little girl was trying to walk before she should have.
Yep. So there were two. There's one kid and the other. They were born virtually at the same time. They're related. One is just talking, and the other one, not so much interaction.
Hmm. Well, again, you ignore it and hope for the best.
That's what he, just ignore it.
Yeah.
Everything be fine.
You know, you hear a lot these days about, oh, that's a different culture. You have to understand them. You know the game Simon Says?
Yes.
That is something that is popular all over the world.
I didn't say Simon Says.
But it's not called Simon Says everywhere because of cultural differences.
Yep.
For instance, in France, it's not Simon, it's Jacques Says.
Jacques.
In China, Teacher Says, because, you know, the teacher will kill you.
Teacher Says, touch your nose.
And in Norway, it's not Simon Says, what? It's the King Commands.
Oh.
Cowabunga. Cowabunga.
What about it?
Where'd that come from?
You and I both know where it came from.
It came from Howdy Doody.
Yep. Had the man on himself.
It was a fake Indian word used by a Native American character.
Yes.
Named Chief Thunder Thud. Cowabunga.
Oh, the peanut gallery loved it.
They sure did. What do you suppose the world record for the concert with the highest attendance is?
Concert at one venue?
Yes.
You know, I'll go out on a limb and say U2.
The world record for the concert with the highest attendance goes to Mr. Rod Stewart.
Really?
It's estimated 3.5 million people watched him perform at Copacabana Beach in Brazil, New Year's Eve, 1994. 3.5 million.
Yep. Most of them sailors on leave.
Yep. And he met every one of them.
And then went to the hospital to get his stomach.
Well, they just continually kept taking him from the hospital back to the venue, hospital back to the venue. How much can one man do, you know?
A lot of stomach pumping.
Yep. That, more than one record sent that night. If we ever get him on, I've got to know how that has affected his life.
Yep. Yep. Every kid knew it.
Yep.
Or heard the story.
Folks, it's that time of year again.
It sure is.
But this may finally be the Thanksgiving when the turkeys revolt and say, we're not going to take it anymore, and begin fighting back.
Yep. Rob was showing this on a loop for about an hour. It's fascinating.
It's happening in New Jersey, folks. According to people who live in a retirement community in Toms River, New Jersey, they're all being terrorized by a gang of 40 to 60 wild turkeys. They say turkeys are blocking their doors, attacking their cars, attacking and biting people who go outside. They're breaking windows.
Yeah. Oh, if a turkey sees his reflection like in a glass window.
Oh, it's on.
Oh, it's on big time.
Because it probably thinks the other turkey's making fun of him.
Yep.
Mocking him.
Yep.
This is the time of year when turkeys can get aggressive. It's mating season. Animal Control and Toms River say they can't help. They're not licensed to trap wildlife. In other words, in Toms River... The turkeys have won.
Oh, show Haney that. You watch this. This is just a toy car, and watch the turkey go effing nuts. They'll do this to people, too. We're just watching this thing. Watch. So there it goes. Okay, there he goes. There he goes. He's ready to kill it.
Look at those idiots.
They're total idiots.
Dummies.
Let him.
Stupid Boyd. Oh, thank God that didn't end up being our national bird.
No kidding. Look at him.
Duh.
Those are two males going at it.
They don't know the difference.
They don't.
God, I just want to chop their heads off and eat them.
And eat them. That's right.
Here's how you solve your turkey problem.
Told you, that's what I did Thanksgiving one year. We had the turkey, one of their brothers, and we were eating them. I took it outside and threw them a piece. They ate it.
Jesus. Not licensed. You know, somebody go out there with a baseball bat, clear them out.
Yeah.
Not licensed.
Yeah.
Damn government. In a moment.
Visit Jason and Todd at the Diamond District.
Hi, I'm Jason. You're in love and want to purchase a diamond. You have so many choices. You may be thinking, do I wait till I'm back in New York? Do I jump online and search the internet? Maybe I'll cruise over to the islands. Before buying a diamond, you owe it to yourself to give Todd and me an opportunity at the Diamond District.
Jason and I have the largest selection of GIA certified diamonds in Southwest Florida. All are priced at or below the most competitive places in the world. We've partnered with De Beers in Canada and Africa. We've traveled to Israel, Antwerp, and India to select our diamonds. We want to offer you the best possible diamond buying experience.
Come see why more people choose the Diamond District than any other jeweler in Southwest Florida.
Visit Jason and Todd at the Diamond District.
And now, back to Haney's News.
On the Stan and Haney Show.
Hi, I'm Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, come and listen to a story about a man named Ben. Ben works at a Waffle House in Birmingham, Alabama. And last Saturday night, Ben went to work, only to discover that because of a scheduling error, he was the lone employee at the Waffle House on Saturday night. Now, if you don't know what that means, on Saturday night at the Waffle House, a lot of hungry, drunk people show up.
Yep.
And Ben's on his own. Now, I want to be clear about this. Ben never complained about it to anybody, but it was obvious to everybody in the restaurant that Ben was taking all the orders, cooking the food, bussing the table, and washing the dishes. Despite his best efforts, he's only one man, and it was quite clear that he was totally overwhelmed, but he never gave up. Around midnight, when things really started to get hopping, an older gentleman who came in to get something to eat stood up and, instead of placing an order, asked Ben for an apron. Ben gave him one, and before he knew it, the old guy was behind the counter and began helping him get out of the weeds.
That's good people.
And then, once this guy broke the ice, at least two other customers realized what was going on and pitched in. One was a hot woman in high heels and a short dress.
I see her. Right on. Right on.
Looking good.
Yeah, baby.
While Ben cooked and the other customers did dishes, she took orders, took people their food, stacked cups and bussed tables.
Yeah, she's a little stacked.
Another customer, he pitched in by taking photos.
Yeah, come on. Thank you.
And tells us the whole thing was amazing to watch. Well, I know why it's amazing to watch, because she is just...
Hey there, hot stuff.
Yeah. You've got it in all the right spots.
Yeah. Hey there, cutie pie, you text?
Yeah. Hey, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, Instagram.
You down with the IG? Huh? You tweet? Or if you really want to torpedo your chances, yeah, you on Facebook?
Yeah, yeah, you book.
Do you like to party? Because I do.
I like to party.
I party.
Grown man, I like to party.
You know, Stan, they got a bit of a bad rap, but not that long ago in this country, we had facilities called insane asylums.
Yeah.
Then some lib got the bright idea that we ought to tear them all down. But where does that leave the crazy people?
Out on the street.
There's a gentleman named James Short. He lives in Lake Ozark, Missouri. And on Saturday night, he decided to rescue sex trafficking victims he'd witnessed imprisoned in an adult novelty store. Now, that's perfectly noble of James, except for the fact that they were not, in fact, sex trafficking victims. They were mannequins displaying lingerie. No one can possibly know if James thought they were actual people or if he knew they were mannequins but they still needed to be rescued, or if he was insane, drunk, high, or both, or all three. But either way, what we do know is that he smashed the windows of the store trying to save these poor mannequins. The manager of the bar across the street saw him, grabbed him, told him to straighten the F up until the police arrived. James was charged with property damage and burglary, but as far as he's concerned, he's done nothing wrong.
Yep. And he did the right thing.
Yep.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, a 33-year-old gent named Alex Rawls kicked in the door to an apartment in Michigan last Wednesday night. Apparently, he used to date someone who'd lived there, and for whatever reason, he was on a bit of a rampage. Unfortunately for him, she didn't live there anymore, and there was no time to say, wrong door, who dis? So he busts down the door to this apartment, and he didn't expect what he found inside. That was 36-year-old good guy Ben Ball.
He was a dork.
He lives there, and he was doing what Ben does, playing video games while simultaneously watching Rick and Morty.
With one of them knit caps that have the things down.
Yeah, like the South Park kids. But that's not Ben's only hobby. He also enjoys what he calls medieval-style combat. That's where he and his a-hole buddies make videos of themselves fighting with medieval weapons. And boy, did he have plenty of them. So Ben grabbed a battle axe, almost like it came off the cover of a Molly Hatchet album, and chopped Alex across the chest with it. There was a brief scuffle, but Alex wisely ran off a complete bloody mess. Well, he'd been attacked with a double-headed battle axe.
Yeah.
The police, they had an easier job of it. They just followed the blood trail and arrested him. But they had to make a detour to the hospital first. That's how effed up he was. He's been charged with first-degree home invasion and could get up to 20 years in prison. Ben went back to playing video games.
Keeps the place nice and tidy, too.
That's how he likes it. And that's the news for today, Monday, November 11th.
Double M-X-I-X.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is, little Mucky Haney, telling it like it is.
News brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. All right, here we go. Caller 9 right now on the K-Rock lines. Yeah, caller 9. I'm just giving this to see if anybody's interested. Caller 9 on the K-Rock lines. Going to get a pair of tickets to WrestleMania Sunday, April 5th at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. This is the biggie. WrestleMania. Caller 9 gets the tickets. We're Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
The only place in Southwest Florida where drunken idiots and law enforcement actually get along. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. No more calls. No more calls. We have our ticket winner.
Somebody Rob, was paying attention, huh?
Rob, you going to do one tonight, too?
Yes.
All right, good. Somebody paying attention. Congratulations to, what is it, Julian?
Julian Bargo of Fort Myers, Florida.
Yeah, Julian Bargo of Fort Myers, Florida. Bargo, as in embargo.
Hockey player or ballerina dancer?
The world may never know. Rob's show, who comes up at 6 o'clock, will have another pair of WrestleMania tickets tonight. I love giving away WrestleMania tickets. That's great. That's big. Big.
That's the creme de la creme.
Yep.
Let's the big one. The granddaddy of a... No, wait, yep. That's the race. It's a big one.
Let's see what we got. Final look at traffic here. Let's start Fort Myers. Disabled vehicle. Gwen Street and Fairview Street. Then in Lehigh Acres, crash. Daniels Parkway and State Road 82. Jeez. And a disabled vehicle. Bonita Springs, Bonita Lakes Boulevard, and Imperial Parkway.
Lovely day.
And you are up to date.
Time now for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy the way it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
I got to figure something out. I'm 35. You know, I'm at that age where all my friends are getting divorced. And, yeah, it's tough. I'm surprised people still want to get married. That shocks me, especially younger people. They're so against traditional stuff, you know? But yet, every lady I know is dying to get married, which blows my mind. Ladies, you come so far, so much progress. But yet, when it comes to marriage, you guys get very old-fashioned. I want the ring and the dress and the party. What? Grow up. I don't know, but that's why you ladies are brilliant. You gals are geniuses, ladies, because you guys tend to be the ones who want to get married, yet somehow you've designed it to where the man asks you. That's some Jedi-level mind trickery right there. You're like Yoda. I want to get married, but you'll ask me. Yes, you got it. And you'll get down on one knee. No problem. And you'll buy an expensive ring. Will do. And whose idea was this? All mine. Well played, ladies, well played. I don't know, am I nuts? Marriage just feels like the least romantic thing on the planet. It's legal. Ugh. Got to go to a courthouse, get a license. What's the license for? That's the only license we don't check, by the way. Driver's license, liquor license. People check a fishing license. I'm going to start checking marriage license. Next time I see a short, broke, weird guy, he's like, that's my hot wife over there. I'm going to be like, let me see some ID.
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, back here tomorrow, 2 o'clock. We're to the Stan and Haney Show, 96 K-Rock, and we leave you this afternoon with this. Dateline, New Jersey. Evidently, turkeys are harassing people in New Jersey. And I don't mean just, you know, bothering them.
He doesn't know anything about that. He doesn't know anything about turkeys or New Jersey.
No, or exits or
anything. He may know something about turkeys, but Jersey he doesn't.
No, not a thing.
Now, you know a thing or two about turkeys because...
Yeah, I raised them.
Well, didn't you say Ernie Niver used to have a pet turkey?
Yeah, we gave it to him. We gave it to him as a little hatchling, and he turned it into a pet. A group of about...
Do you know whatever happened to it?
He ate it, I think.
So he loved it for a couple of years and ate it?
Yes. Yes. He took it and had it butchered. It's true. A group of about 50...
Did he lead it in there on a leash?
Here's Ernie Niver. Ernie Niver was a drunk. His wife left him years ago, and he kept the house and the pickup truck. He lived in a residential area of Torrington, Connecticut, but would take home anything and everything. He was the one that would pick up roadkill and make possum stew, raccoon stew.
Isn't that good, Stan?
Yeah, eat more.
Come on, Rocky.
We raised turkeys. And there, every once in a while.
How old were you when you lost respect for the turkey?
12. Every once in a while, you'd have a turkey or a pheasant when we raised them, or a rooster in the hen house.
Because you raised a lot of animals,
yes.
But you seem to be just almost angry at how dumb turkeys are.
Turkeys are super dumb. They'll drown in a puddle. But you always have the outcast turkey, the one that the rest of them don't accept.
Mm-hmm.
And Ernie Niver said, I'll take the turkey.
The really dumb turkey.
The real dumb one, the outcast. And he took him home with him, put him in his backyard, and fed him and all that stuff. And he would go, and the turkey was pretty tame for the most part. It's a dumb bird.
As tame as a turkey gets.
And he thought it would be a good idea when he was out drinking to have a companion. And he'd take the turkey from his backyard, put it in the car.
Like his sober companion.
Yes, put it in the pickup truck with him. And it got to be a novelty when you saw Ernie Niver going through town, running red lights, you know, with one hand up on the wheel with a cigarette burning, and a tall boy in the other one, and the turkey in the passenger side. There goes Ernie! He's got that damn turkey with him!
Until he had it butchered.
Yeah, and then it got to a certain age, and I remember we were sending our birds off to be dressed, and he said, you might as well take this one.
So why doesn't anybody eat these boys?
They're gonna. There are a lot of turkey farms, and I don't know if this is the case, but there are a lot of turkey farms and a lot of wild turkey, and they start not being afraid. Well, here's the story. About 50 turkeys have been harassing residents.
Oh, they're like a gang.
Yes, it's in an over 55 community in Jersey. People can't even get out their front door because of the turkeys.
The turkeys are taking over. It's like an infestation. I can't get out of my door. Sometimes I can't get out of my car. Shoo them away. They won't do anything. They just like look at you to say, yeah, like they don't care. People think it's a laughing matter. It's a serious matter. When I can't get out of my house to get in the car because they won't go away and you can't get them to go away and they go to bite you. Yes, it's a problem. They've broken windows in people's houses when they fight. It's something to be taken seriously.
Yeah, it's damn turkeys.
Now, I've never been around a whole gaggle of turkeys.
Yeah.
But if they're coming at you, wouldn't a baseball bat solve the problem?
Yeah, it would, and you would wind up hurting the bird physically and permanently, and then you'd feel bad about it. Oh, I killed the bird.
Well, how do you...
When they get all fluffed up like that, back away. Back away.
Well, what are they going to do to you?
They will attack you. They'll spur you.
With their feet?
Yes. They'll peck at you. They'll charge you and bite you. Their beak is a powerful weapon.
So what would a little lady have to do? A broom won't do anything to them?
Broom, they'll fight the broom off. I've gone after one with a broom, and they'll fight it off.
So you've had a turkey fight?
Yeah.
Take us there. What happened?
Well, it's a turkey fight. They'll go and puff up. They make a sound.
Now, are you a child or an adult at this point?
I'm 12.
Okay. Well, then you got good size.
But they make a sound. And then that's when they flare out and their little waddle there up on the top there. I don't know what the hell you call it.
Yeah, it's a waddle.
Starts hanging down. Because when they're not in aggressive mode, that thing goes up like almost like a retracting penis. It goes up and it's not there. But when they get mad, they fan out. That waddle goes down hanging. And their head turns colors. It'll go blue and red. And that mean they mean business.
And so it came after young Sandy?
Many times. And you go and try to swat at them, and they'll keep charging you. They're so dumb, they'll charge you until they're dead.
Blue skies. Yeah. Every day's a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.